Hello and welcome to the latest edition of the By the Man MFC podcast. We record yet again after another heavy defeat, and I'm joined by Jay, Busta and Matthew Grant. Matthew, welcome back, mate. You were at Dens Park on Saturday, 4-1, and by all accounts, it could have been more.
Yeah, it was a strange performance. I think Jay will agree. You know, we didn't actually look too bad going forward the first 35 minutes, but without actually really creating much apart from the goal. But defensively, again, it was just an absolute shambles. Again, I think following on from previous weeks, I think the most concerning thing about it was some of the players' lack of appetite. Some people looked like they just went up for it. And that lack of fight could possibly see us dragged right back into the mix. I don't think we're out of it, but right back into it, depending on what happens with Ross County and St Mirren in the coming weeks. So it was good to see there was a few positives. The boy Thomas getting a run out again. Always wanted the ball, didn't hide, was happy to take players on. And it was also good to see him giving some of the senior pros a bit of a hard time when they were making silly mistakes. Caught on a few times, he was giving big John Sutton some better. So one or two positives out of what was a pretty poor display in a wet, cold winter's day in Dundee.
Jay, it's very concerning how many goals we're losing at this moment in time. The comedy factor of the own goal aside, really, really poor goals to lose. I don't think any of them weren't preventable. Starting games as well, first 10 minutes already 2-0 down. It gives you a huge, huge task ahead of you, doesn't it?
Yeah, I mean, you're right. All four goals, I think, if you watch them, they're all preventable, but yet it could have been a lot more. So, you know, for every goal we might have prevented, you know, you don't know if Dundee might have picked another one out of the bag. Because you've got, I mean, I don't know if it came across in the highlights, but at the game, I don't think Dundee really looked as though they had to work for the win. That was the most concerning thing. They got all four goals that were, you know, mistakes. The first one, well, not even mistakes, the first one's a deflection. The second one's just a complete mix-up at the back. You know, there's McManus, O'Brien and Law are all just kind of seem to have like a different idea of what's going on, which is obviously not what you need for your defence. They need to be organised, they need to be communicating, and that just didn't happen there. The third goal is obviously an absolute clanger for Twardzig, and the fourth one is, I mean, it still raises a smile. I was an absolute hysterics at the game when that one went in, because it was just one of those ones you need to just put your hands up and sort of laugh. One of those, if you didn't laugh, you'd cry. But overall, I mean, Twardzig's pulled off a couple of great saves, and I still don't think Dundee really had to work. I mean, Matty touched upon it there. It was a bizarre game because, I don't know, it's hard to explain if you weren't at the game. When you guys were telling me about the Aki's game, which I wasn't at, it was pretty easy. You just told me it was a terrible performance and perhaps the worst you've ever seen. That's pretty, you know, straightforward. The game on Saturday, it was just a really weird performance. It wasn't that the performance levels were bad, they just didn't seem to exist. Apart from it, as Matty says, in the first maybe half an hour, particularly down the left through Dom Thomas, we did look okay. But I just get the impression that we looked like a team that is already relegated. It looked to me like a team that, at times I felt as though I was at Dens Park with maybe two or three games left in the season after we're, you know, mathematically down. It had that feel about it. The players had that sort of aura about them. In particular, Lionel Ainsworth, who, based on his, well, recent performances and in his performance on Saturday, I wouldn't put it past, or wouldn't be surprised if Barraclough just sat him down and said, "Do you want a mutual termination now?" Because it was absolutely scandalous just how little effort and how little interest he's got in the team. So yeah, we're in a position where you can't be gifting teams 2-0 leads anyway, but, you know, there was only one player in the park who actually looked as though they, even at 2-0 down, thought we could get back in it, and that was Josh Law. Every other player just wasn't interested. So I don't know whether it's a, you know, what came first, whether we were 2-0 down because the players weren't interested, or they weren't interested because we went 2-0 down. But either way, it's worrying. And it had that sort of performance about it that up until Saturday, I would have said that I reckoned we were good enough to stay up. Now, I'd be surprised if we don't finish at least 11th based on that performance. Not so much the actual performance itself, just on the sort of mentality of the players. It's an absolute joke.
Busta, what was pretty galling for me was Dundee, without a win since the middle of November, they come up against us. of course we weren't in good form ourselves, but that's an emphatic defeat, and not for the first time this season. We've been hammered. We've lost 4 and 5 to Accies, lost convincingly at home to Dundee as well, it must be said. I know Ayama scored late on to kind of make it look a bit more respectable, a 3-1 defeat. Aberdeen, the 2-0 defeat, could have been more. 1-0 at home to Celtic, should have been more. Partick Thistle away, 3-1. We're getting beat, and we're getting beat badly in a lot of occasions this season. And it certainly can't be helping the confidence.
But I think you've also got to look at the games where we've not been beat. The amount of chances that the opposition create is unreal, completely unreal. I mean, I'm taking these stats for the BBC here, so they might not be entirely accurate, but 21 shots, Dundee had 2 or 3 on Saturday. Now, 3 shots in an entire game is scandalous, in my opinion. As Jay says, they don't look as if they're interested. I mean, I wasn't at the game on Saturday either, so I can't really comment on that. For what I've seen in the highlights, you know, the goals looked atrocious, to be fair. But they just don't seem as if they're interested. As Jay says, they look as if they're playing as if they're already relegated.
The concerning thing is, Jay, despite the fact we've got a wee bit of a cushion on St Mirren and Ross County, well, it's not anything drastic or substantial. They're both sides that have shown a wee bit of promise. Ross County are battling to results, going to Celtic Park and just after Christmas and getting a draw. There's positive signs there. St Mirren aren't losing anywhere near as emphatically as we are. It's just concerning. I think quite a lot of people thought that when Barraclough came in, we were too good to go down. That certainly doesn't seem the case for me.
I think if you compare, I mean, it's one of those ones where if football was played on paper, then we'd be fine. I think if you compare our squad to St Mirren and Ross County, then we're probably still the better team. But the problem is with the mentality the players have, and, you know, the complete lack of, you know, interest or motivation, or, you know, it's just such a lacklustre performances we're getting. You're not going to get that from St Mirren and Ross County, I don't think. They know that they're battling for their lives down there. Ross County, in particular, when they came to Fir Park, were so they had so much more fight than we did, and they were so, you know, working harder, and we just didn't look interested at all. You know, we might be too good to go down on paper, but when it comes to mentality and it comes to the mindset some of the players seem to be in at the moment, we are going down, because that seems to be what's been accepted by some of the players that we've got there. I know on the journey back from Dundee, I heard Tam Cowan talk about Keith Lasley mentioning that there's a real crisis of confidence. But even that doesn't stick it for me. At the end of the day, if you've got a squad that's lacking in confidence, you still go out, you still work hard, you roll up your sleeves, you knuckle in, and then you look for the breaks that might go your way if you do that, and then you can take confidence for those. We're not interested. We've got players out there who are literally not interested in battling away. And, you know, again, Ainsworth, for me, I'm struggling to remember him getting forward, really, at any point. I mean, you look at the goal we actually scored, and it came down the right, and I think it was Keith Lasley played it into Ayama, who laid it off for Law, who put it across. Ainsworth wasn't even on the screen because he's not interested. I mean, it's absolutely frightening. Chris Cadden came off the bench with, I think, 10-15 minutes to go, and had more of an impact in those 10-15 minutes than Ainsworth did the whole game. We have players there who aren't interested, and the big problem for us is St Mirren and Ross County have players who are up for the battle, and we don't.
Matty, there's so many individuals that could be criticised. One that's perhaps caught the attention of more than a few is Dan Twardzik in goals. I know he's made countless important saves over the course of the season to keep scores respectable, but he dropped the ball, for which led to Aberdeen being awarded a penalty last Sunday, and then a pretty poor error again on Saturday, coming out of his goal wildly flapping at the corner. A bit concerning there, especially given the lack of backup.
Yeah, I mean, I was unfortunate at the time, because at 2-1 down, I don't know if Jay would agree, but we kind of felt as if you were still in it. I don't know if we're slightly you know, during 90 minutes, we're eternal optimists. We might not always sound on here, but, you know, you always think we're in this now. Kind of clawed your way half back into the game. And it was an unfortunate one. For me, with Twardzik, I think he's a great shortstopper. There's sometimes questions about the ball at his feet. He always seems quite comfortable, but then some of his kick-out, especially against Hamilton, he had a hard time playing into the wind. He really struggled with that. I like him in that way. He's one of these guys you always want to do really well. And in some games this season, Celtic in particular, his shortstopping and his ability at one-on-ones is fantastic. Is he the complete package, and will he become the complete package? I'm not sure. But he's essentially still probably the best of what we have. So I don't know if he's going to be a very good backup keeper or if we're going to continue with him into next season. Only time will tell. Just take a look at some Jane Buster was saying, though. You know, in terms of the performance, I just thought, to me, it reminded me of Hibs last season. That's how we looked on Saturday. We looked just a crisis of confidence. And I was also looking at, I went into stats a wee bit more, and I was just looking at the five games since Barakov came in, and we've had on average 4 shots and goal. And that just between leaking goals at the back and not having the ability to even create chances, never mind take them, we're in all sorts of bother.
Well, just to also pick up on Twardzik, like, I think we've also got to remember that he's 23, which, you know, for outfield players may be the time that they need to start breaking into first teams. But as far as goalkeepers go, you know, 23 is usually your backup. So if you're going to afford mistakes, you know, we're on here lauding the youngsters and talking about Erwin and talking about Thomas. If we're going to, you know, accept that young players are going to make mistakes, then unfortunately a young goalkeeper is going to make errors, and you're in that position that they're going to score. One thing I did think was particularly impressive with Twardzik, actually, if he hadn't dropped that ball, he would have been my man of the match by a country mile, which obviously isn't saying anything that much in that team, but some of his saves were fantastic, and if it wasn't for him, it could have been, you know, 7 or 8-1. But coming off the park at half time, obviously the Motherwell fans were right above the tunnel, and he did go out his way to actually apologise to the Motherwell fans as he went off at half time for dropping the ball. So I know obviously it's a terrible mistake, but at least that showed a bit of, you know, a bit of class rather than just head down straight down the tunnel.
I agree with that, Jay. And I don't want to seem as if I'm being really critical of him, because, yeah, you're right, 23 for a goalkeeper, still relatively young. I think it's just unfortunate that we're in a position just now where if you're sitting in the middle of the table or, you know, the top half of the table, then it's not such a drastic thing to make a mistake as a goalkeeper. But when you're already leading goals and kind of takes the sting, that and the Ajama sending off just took the sting and the impetus right out of the Motherwell of any we had at all, it's just really unfortunate.
Yeah, I think one thing to remember, though, is also the fact that I'm quite happy criticising Twardzik if, you know, he makes a mistake, and it was a terrible mistake. But I think it's, you know, this season in particular, to do it, you know, look at him as part of a back five, or, you know, the back four. Obviously, it was part of a back four in the second half because we went three at the back. But, you know, it can't really be easy to be a 23-year-old goalkeeper when the defence in front of you has been absolutely shocking.
I think that the fourth goal, he was really weak at that as well, to be honest with you. Don't get me wrong, it was, as you say, it was a complete farce, a goal to lose. But, you know, there'll be goalkeepers in that league who'd have went through their defender to grab that ball.
Again, I think that might be an experience thing, though. I think that he's coming out and he's thinking, oh, that's my defender, he's going to move out of the way, which he did, but unfortunately back-heeled the ball as he did it. But I think that's an experience thing. I think if you're looking at a, you know, 28, 29-year-old keeper, then he just goes and he clears out everybody there.
Again, just to pick up as well on what you're saying about how he's, to be fair, he's probably been our most consistent and probably our best player this year, which again I think is not to be critical of him. I think it's sort of, if he's getting 21 shots out of my game, he's going to look good in a couple of them. He makes great saves, as you say. His one-on-ones in December, Celtic and whoever else it was against, something I forget, sorry, he was looking brilliant then. In December, you know, he won the club's player of the month, and quite rightly so. But there's just something about him, and I don't know if it's, as I say, just a presence thing or whatever. You know, he's apparently 6 foot. He's about 6 inches wide, though, unfortunately. And, you know, that might not necessarily be an important thing, but he just seems to. There's just something about him where I can't put my finger on it, but he'd be a good backup, put it that way. I don't think he's going to be a good number one.
Guys, another player that's in the spotlight, Henrik Ayama, sent off just before half time on Saturday, looking like a 3-match ban for violent conduct. So that'll mean his last game will fall on the last day of his contract against St Johnstone on the 31st of January. Busta, do you think this could be the last we see of Henrik at Fir Park?
I think so. I'm led to believe that apparently one of the directors is sort of forking in for his wages as well. So if we're planning on cutting, you know, the budgets and things, I don't think we'll see him. I don't think we'll see him after that, to be fair. He's gone a bit off the boil, to be fair, as well. You know, I don't think there was even that much. He's stupid enough to raise his hands, obviously, but I don't think there was that much in that. And for what I've seen in the highlights, but I don't really think we'll see him. We'll see too much of him again. I think, as you say, a wee cup and call in January, and that's at the end of January, and that's it.
Jay, for me, he's been very disappointing under Barraclough, which has been very frustrating, given that he was really coming onto a game prior to the new manager's arrival. We can't really afford to be paying someone good money when they're not producing the good.
Well, yeah, I think that, I mean, his work rate has never went down. You know, I think that his work rate is still there. Like, even there, before he got sent off, you know, that first half hour, we were looking all right going forward. He was doing a lot of running, but he was misplacing passes. And I think he's maybe just another one who has genuinely suffered from a bit of a confidence crisis. But in saying that, he's one of the few who's actually still went out there and did a shift. But I know what Bust is saying, having looked at it back. You know, at the game we missed it, the ball had been passed away and nobody really knew what was going on. But having looked at it back, I think he is trying to just push the player off him. But you know, you raise your hands at that and you're going to go off. But whether he'll stay or not, I think I would be surprised if Barraclough doesn't want to keep him, because obviously we're in a relegation battle and he's one of our better players. But you're right, if he's not, you know, if he's not playing particularly well and we're forking out for him, then I know that Barraclough had said about creative ways of bringing in new players. Whether one of the creative ways is, if Buster's right, you know, direct some directors' wages elsewhere rather than to Ayama, then maybe that might be the way we go down. But, you know, there's a lot of players in that team that I would be looking to get rid of before Ayama. But, of course, it may not even come down to us, you know, whether we're allowed to keep him or not.
Matt,
it'll be
quite sad to see him leave the club, given how successful his first spell was. Perhaps not quite hit the heights as much second time round, but the kind of memories of him being part of what was a fantastic Motherwell team will remain with us, possibly especially when we're reflecting on 4-1 defeats to Dundee and 5-0 defeats to Hamilton Accies.
Yeah, I mean, it's unfortunate. He obviously came in without a pre-season, and it took a bit of time to get his fitness levels up, etc. And I think the last, you know, probably November into December, we started to see glimpses of him back to his old self. To be honest, I think he's possibly suffered from trying to have to do too much, and sort of whatever we were trying to create, whereas before, and the team had before, you know, we had like Stirling Humphrey and Nicky Law and people like that who are going to, are willing runners as well and going to create, go into space and allow to create more space. And I think as well, he's probably been targeted by other teams because they've probably realised he's our one real outlet in terms of creativity this season. So, yeah, it's unfortunate he's not quite hit the heights. I will be disappointing, but it's like for me, it's a double-edged sword. It's one of those, if we're paying quite a bit of money, do we have the opportunity to bring in a couple of players for the money he's on? Maybe freshen things up, create a bit of competition and really, you know, put the cat amongst the pigeons with some of these season pros who just don't seem to be pulling their weight. Whereas the other side is, you know, you want to keep him because he has been one of your better performers, especially over the last 2 months. So I'll shame to see him go, but I'm interested to see what Barraclough can do before the end of January, especially for some wages there to play with if he goes back to Leisure.
Just going off on a bit of a tangent, Matty, you mentioned Terry Butcher at Hibs last season. A guy that came in round about the same time as Ian Barraclough has come in our season. Butcher wasn't given very much time. He inherited a team loan confidence, sucked what little confidence they had in themselves right out of them. They ended up getting relegated via the playoffs. He was then subsequently sacked in the summer. Ian Barraclough's come in, a couple of wins, spirits a bit higher. Lost the last three, an aggregate of 11-1. Dragging us right into this dogfight, which, to be fair, we've never really been out of this season. Is Barraclough going to be afforded more time? I know we can't compare ourselves with Hibs, but our situation seems very, very similar. And it concerns me that Ian Barraclough might not get the time that he needs to kind of rip things up and start again at Motherwell.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at us historically, we're not a club to go down and have a knee-jerk reaction to things like that. I think
we've never been relegated, though, in recent times. So
yeah, but I think some things kind of remain the same, though, in that aspect. I think it would be unfair. I don't think it would be something. I don't know if it's something we could afford to do, to sack him and get someone else in as well, let's be honest.
That's exactly that. That's the reason, in my opinion, Kenny Black, for example, is still there, is because we can't afford to get rid of people. So if there was any sort of instance where we wanted to get rid of Barraclough, if he's just got a straight up contract with no sort of clauses or, you know, relegation clauses or anything, he's going to be there. But I would still, even just unless he totally messes up, I would just leave it, because it's not his team anyway. Give him a chance, give him the summer to see what he can bring in.
I mean, I think the thing for me, between especially Dundee and the Accies game, for me, is that we've there was probably a couple of things I'd have done tactically to change it. You know, they both play with three centre midfielders. Alec Neil, who was sitting right in front of the Hamilton centre-halves, and Kevin Thompson was doing it for Dundee the weekend, which meant the other two centre midfielders were free to roam, and it meant that the weekend, Lasley and Carswell had to pick them up. Any time the ball came back out, it just got recycled again. And I feel as if we need to match up sometimes. We seem to stick to a sort of 4-2-3-1 or a 4-4-2 historically. And especially when you're struggling, you're low in confidence, sometimes you just need to go and make yourself hard to beat. But yeah, I mean, on Barraclough, I think he's full of positive energy. He says the right things, and I know a lot of the fans that we speak to think he says the right things. I think he would be given time. But it seems to me, just looking at the players, that they're in the same place as the Hibs players were. They don't seem to have had the prolonged sort of buoyancy from a new manager coming in.
Jay, can you put your finger on why that is? You normally get a bit of a new manager bounce. I wouldn't say that we've even had one performance where I've thought that anything's particularly improved. The two results against St Mirren and Partick Thistle were an improvement results wise, but I don't think the performances were that great, to be perfectly honest. And the new face hasn't kind of reinvigorated anybody at the club. I can't think of one person off the top of my head that's performing better than they were before Barraclough came to the club.
Well, I mean, I agree in terms of the performances. Well, I think for me, one of the reasons I think that it's the case is because normally when a manager goes and a new one comes in, the players, if they're suffering a crisis for confidence, that's all it is. As I've said, I think that for a number of players in our squad, I think it goes deeper than that. I've said, in previous podcasts, that I think that this season we've realised that the mentality of a lot of our players is that, yeah, everything's brilliant, everything's great when we're, you know, up the top end, but they're not particularly interested in the fight required and the determination required when they're in a bad run of form or when confidence is low. And I think that's the issue. It's all very well, you'll get that bounce if you've got players who are low in confidence or are keen to impress. Then you'll get that bounce because it's not there's no obstacle to it. For me, there's too many players in the team who already have that obstacle. You know, they're not interested in playing for a team that's down the bottom of the league. They don't have the motivation or the determination to get us out of it. And therefore, it doesn't really matter who comes in as manager. You know, that's not going to change.
We'll look ahead to our next Scottish Premiership fixture. Kilmarnock visit Fir Park on Saturday. Kelly themselves and a wee bit of a slump, but they got a massive result at St Mirren on New Year's Day, mind you, that pretty much confirmed their safety. They're looking at the top six. I don't think they'll quite make that, but they'll represent a tough task, Matt. you look at their game on Saturday, they went 1-0 up against Inverness before falling to a 2-1 defeat. But they've got players that can hurt us, and they already did convincingly beat us earlier on in the season.
Yeah, I mean, they're a funny side, come on, because they started the season pretty well. A couple of decent results recently, but then seemed to sort of yo-yo in terms of their performance levels. I mean, Eremenko's a huge threat. If it was a fit Alex Eremenko as well, he'd walk into any team in the SPFL. But yeah, I mean, they've got energy as well, like so Craig Slater, boys like that, who are hungry, young lads. I'd like to think they're a good position for us just now, in terms of, you know, that would have been a disheartening defeat for them at the weekend, especially when Inverness went down to 10 men. I know Alan Johnson's taking a lot of flack for his substitution of Eremenko when they were Kelly seemed to be on top of the game. But hopefully it represents an opportunity. I'd rather be playing them than playing a Hamilton again, or someone who probably plays slightly more free-flowing football than Kamarnock do. But we really need to be on our game to get anything out of it, to be honest with you. But, you know, it'll be interesting to see what happens this afternoon.
Jay, it's hard to be enthusiastic about any fixture at this moment in time, given our current form, but a game against a team that I would consider to be about our level on our home turf. We really need 3 points, but I suppose a point would be a start.
Well, I think, I mean, for me, it doesn't really matter who we're playing, because at the moment, our biggest enemies are ourselves. That's our biggest problem. Our biggest problem is the lack of confidence. It is the shambolic defending. It is the inability to score. So it doesn't really matter what opposition you put in front of us. It's going to be really, really difficult. But again, I'm one of the things I'm kind of focusing on at the moment, at least to sort of ignite some excitement, is Dom Thomas. Again, on Saturday, was, as Matty already touched upon, not only was he the threat, was he skinning players at one point, Dundee doubled up on him, but he wants the ball. So, you know, when you've got players like that who are not void of confidence, who want the ball, who have the ability to go past players, then you've always got a chance. So, you know, it could go one or two ways. If it is a crisis of confidence, then maybe all we need is that point or that win or that good performance. But I do have my doubts about some players.
Buster, I think the mood amongst the camp will be possibly at its lowest point of the season after the last couple of results. A big task for Ian Barraclough to pick the boys up ahead of Saturday.
Not half, to be fair. I'm scunnered myself, to be honest with you. I don't even know where to start, because I don't think we're good enough. The chat earlier about us being a good team on paper, I think that's maybe part of the problem, that people actually believe that. I just don't think we are, to be fair. There's guys in the team who performed well last year, obviously. A couple of people who are more grafters rather than having, you know, talent. But you know, you're not seeing it for them this year either. I don't really see us picking up anything, to be honest with you, on Saturday.
See, that's the thing for me. Saturday came and went. I was working through the day and just following the game on the radio, and it's hard to feel any sort of emotion when what's going on in the park is just, it's, everything's so flat. The atmosphere's flat just now. Around the supporters, you speak to people in the build-up to a game and they're looking forward to meeting their pals in the pub or anything but the football, really. And it's, I don't know how to kind of reinvigorate the fans in any way. You look at stuff coming out of the club today, and it's about sticker albums and burn suppers and everything else. I don't know whether, if we've got room for a new signing, if that would maybe just lift the spirits and perhaps maybe kind of stir up the dressing room a wee bit, but I don't know. We kind of did a wee straw poll on the Twitter about positive things, and I think the most positive thing that we got was that the park was still holding up all right this season. It's kind of that grim, isn't it?
Well, to be fair, can I just say the one positive thing for Saturday was the Motherwell support. You know, I think it got mentioned. I think Jim Spence mentioned it. I know it got mentioned in Off the Ball. You know, the Motherwell boys were in fine voice. I'm not sure whether that was largely down to the fact that, you know, there is no interest in the football anymore, so you might as well have a good bounce about in a sing-song. I mean, the feelings you were having on Saturday, you know, about not having, you know, no real emotion, I think that could be said for the same. It could certainly be the same for myself at the game. I don't know about Matt, but I think that's one of the reasons why it just felt like such a bizarre game. I think it's because Saturday was probably the first time this season when everything kind of went the way you thought it would. You know, the sort of the eternal optimism seems to have kind of been drained away now, and so we sort of turned up on Saturday, made mistakes, looked terrible at the back, had no confidence, players weren't interested, and we get humped, and you just kind of shrugged it off because that is, you know, that is the team we are now, and it kind of went to expectations. But again, I think that one positive, the two positives for me on Saturday were the work ethic, and, you know, the second goal aside, the performance for Josh Law and the Motherwell boys.
Yeah, I mean, for me, you're almost resigned yourself to the fact that it's going to be another one of those. You're looking at the, you know, last few, especially since Hamilton games, you're looking and going, what's next? Hamilton was still worse than the Dean Saturday for me by a long way. But again, maybe again, my expectation levels dropped slightly. For me, if we're going to, you know, meeting for a pint before the game Saturday this week, I'd be hoping, you know, what would probably buoy me a wee bit is if I turned around and saw a team sheet with Thomas, Irwin, Cadden and McLean starting and just going, do you know what? There are guys here who are just interested, it looks like picking up a wage, that aren't interested in putting a shift in and fighting for the club and the guy and the fans who continue to put their hands into their pockets for them. These young boys at least came in at the weekend and didn't hide. That's what I liked about it. Cadden didn't hide, McLean didn't hide, neither the big Irwin when they came on. They were looking for the ball. And, you know, and sometimes get criticism for things they did, but I would rather I saw that on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock. It actually made me quite positive getting into the game. Because I'd rather go down fighting than, you know, with a sort of apathetic approach we have to it at the moment. So, I mean, I don't know what you guys think about that, but I would be happy to see four youngsters be starting at the weekend.
I definitely agree with that, because the problem with having such a small squad is that some players are basically guaranteed a starting place. Barakoff says everybody will get a chance if, you know, if these young boys are doing this and doing that and doing well in training, they'll get a chance. Now, don't get me wrong, he's given the youngsters more of a chance this season than the previous two before him. But I think it's about time, as you says, he maybe just started to put them in there for players who maybe think their place is guaranteed.
Guys, I think that's basically all we've got time for this episode. We look forward to recording again next Monday when hopefully we've got a good result to reflect on. Matty, thanks very much for coming on again, mate. It's much appreciated.
Thanks for having us.
You've been listening to the By the Men MFC podcast. We'll be back next Monday. Until then, cheers and good night. My arms stuck like glue to my